Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Jesus' public ministry is coming to a close, and the tension between Jesus and the Jewish leaders has reached a crescendo. The Pharisees and Herodians have joined forces to plot against Jesus. The Herodians supported the regime of the Herods, were disposed to accept Roman rule of Palestine, and with respect to religion, were similar to the Sadducees, who did not believe in the resurrection of the dead. The Herodians viewed religion in materialistic terms. The Pharisees, as we know, were zealous keepers of the law, anti-Roman, and regarded the house of Herod as usurpers. After all, Herod the Great wasn't even Jewish. He was installed by the Romans as the vassal, their vassal, to rule over the Jews. So it's significant that such groups would work together. And doing so in this instance reveals how much they hated Jesus. If Jesus had said that it was lawful to pay taxes to Caesar, the Pharisees could have discredited him in the eyes of the people, who were very nationalistic. If he had said paying the taxes to Rome was unlawful, the Herodians could have denounced him to the Roman authorities. Instead, as we heard, Jesus said, "Repay to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God what belongs to God." Give to Caesar what is his due. What has Caesar then a right to receive? Those taxes which are necessary for legitimate state expenses. But God must be given what is his due. Nothing less than obedience to all his commands. Jesus' answer shows that he recognized civil authority and its rights, but he made it quite clear that the superior rights of God must be respected. It must be borne in mind, my friends, that Jesus' teaching transcends any kind of political approach or political system. Today's gospel invites us to reflect on what relationship a Christian has to the state, to society, and to authority. The fourth commandment, honor your father and your mother, enjoins us to honor all who for our good have received authority in society from God. There's much we could say about those with the responsibility of governance. In short, political authorities are obliged to respect the fundamental rights of the human person. They will dispense justice humanely by respecting the rights of everyone, especially of families and of the disadvantaged. Those subject to authority, all of us, should regard those in authority as representatives of God, who has made them stewards of his gifts. As St. Peter wrote in his letter, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Live as free men, yet without using your freedom as a pretext for evil. But live as servants of God." Citizens have the right, and at times the duty, to voice their just criticisms of that which seems harmful to the dignity of persons and to the good of the community. It is the duty of citizens to contribute, along with the civil authorities, to the good of society in a spirit of truth, justice, solidarity, and freedom. Patriotism, which we could define as the love and service of one's country, or wanting the best for one's country, follows from the duty of gratitude and belongs to the order of charity. This is something perhaps we need to be more conscious of, that patriotism is actually a form of love. Submission to legitimate authorities in service of the common good requires citizens to fulfill their roles in the life of the political community by, among other things, paying taxes exercising the right to vote, and defending one's country. It also needs to be said that the citizen is obliged in conscience not to follow the directives of civil authorities when they are contrary to the demands of the moral order, to the fundamental rights of persons, or the teachings of the gospel. Refusing obedience to civil authorities, when their demands are contrary to those of an upright conscience, finds its justification in the distinction between serving God and serving the political community. And this is precisely the distinction, my friends, the Lord makes in today's gospel. Render therefore to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, and to God the things that are God's. In other words, it is impossible to serve the common good unless we remain faithful to the gospel. One's duties as a Christian are not set against one's duties as a citizen. Indeed, our faith enriches our actions in the public square. We are to put the virtues of faith, hope, and charity at the service of believers and non-believers alike. We Christians carry the message that man's last end is happiness. And happiness ultimately cannot be found in wealth, honors, health, or sensual satisfaction, qualities which are prized so highly in today's secular culture. It can be found only in knowing and loving God. And if true and enduring happiness can only be found in knowing and loving God, then we all of us have the mission of enlarging God's kingdom, of bringing others to Christ and to the church. And this is an appropriate message today because today happens to be World Mission Sunday. This day is usually given over to praying more intensely for the many Christians, religious and lay, serving in the missions and helping them with our contributions. So, for example, on this day, we're going to take up a collection that'll be given over to the propagation of the faith. And, you know, it's been a real privilege for me, a blessing, to have actually visited a mission parish. When I was in my first assignment, the parish there had a sister parish in Honduras. In Honduras, a very poor area of Honduras. And myself and some lay people of the parish, it was a group of us, we were sent to Honduras because we wanted to see how the parish was doing, but also be on the ground and see where the money was going, because the parish had the central church in the town of Gracias, San Marco, but had many, many chapels all in the region of that area, which formed the one parish, and there were villages there who didn't get a mass except maybe once a year. And certainly confirmation, if they were lucky, the people there would see a bishop maybe once every 2 years. And the pastor there, Father Luis Alonso, was one of the most heroic priests I ever encountered in my priesthood. With his, living simply at the church, he had a little quarters off of the office, He would take his Toyota truck, I'll never forget it, we'd get into his Toyota truck, and we would go all over this region, and it was a mountainous region, some valleys, natural features like streams and rivers, and we crossed those streams in the Toyota truck. And I turned to Father Luis Alonso and I said, you ought to get with Toyota. You would make a terrific commercial. I mean, he was really very expert. He could have taken, a carton of eggs and it would never have been damaged on that truck. And with him, in support of him, were some lay people who were very devout and were the key coordinators for each of those village chapels, and lay people who ran the CCD programs there. So on this day, just to, don't want to belabor the point, but on this day, we think of the missions and the dedicated people who who serve in them, like our own diocesan mission in the Dominican Republic in Bonica. My friends, however, today is also a call for each one of us to be aware of the mission work that we can do here in Potomac Falls. Because to be Catholic, to be a disciple of Christ, is always to be on mission. Always. Always to be on mission to extend the kingdom of God. Now, most often this work occurs in the family. And even in this time of COVID, which has so many restrictions. You know, what are we practicing? Social distancing. You know? And we think of the elderly. I was just talking to someone recently. Her aged father is in a nursing home, and he has COVID, and the daughters can't see him. The daughters can't be with him. You know? And we think of the restrictions on our life in so many ways, what we're not used to. None of us have lived through an experience like this. This is it. Our parents haven't experienced anything like this. Now, my grandparents, some of them lived through the Spanish flu in the early part of the 20th century. But we can get caught up in our isolation, caught up in what we can't do, and we must remember that it's an axiom of the spiritual life that we don't concentrate on what we can't do, but we do what we can do. So a spiritual director once said, do what you can, not what you can't. Do what you can and not what you can't. And even in this time of COVID, there's much we can do in furthering the mission of the church and the mission of Christ. First of all, in the family, praying together every day. Daily prayer in the family. You know, so many families' lives have been changed because mom and dad are both at home. During this COVID period, many people teleworking, and they're with the children. It wasn't after so many months the parents were saying, let the children go to school, you know. But now is a time, a privileged time, an unexpected time. We could call it a welcome time for families to get together and pray each day, whether it's the rosary or praying over a passage of scripture, or maybe one of the parents or one of the children reading from the lives of the saints. How edifying spiritually that would be. To attend Mass on Sundays and holy days of obligation. Now you're all here. Praise God. It's great. It's great. Of course, we don't have the obligation at this time of COVID to attend Sunday Mass. That obligation's been lifted by the bishop for prudent reasons. So for a legitimate reason, if we can't be here on Sunday, it would be good to follow the Mass on television or live streaming. EWTN has a Mass every day to pray with the Mass. St. Padre Pio used to say, if you can't attend the Mass because of sickness and you can do it, you should pray with the readings. Pray over the readings of that Sunday. Of course, we're so very grateful for so many who continue to support the parish financially. And that's very, very important. But we could ask ourselves, am I contributing according to my means to the mission of the parish? You know, to do that is really to participate in those various organizations and groups and activities of the parish. You know, I can't be there in person, but I'm contributing to the ability of the parish to function, to do its mission. And finally, one idea is to speak freely to others about God's presence in your life. You know, now is the time that we reach out to others through phone, through email, through internet, all these different things I've just had to learn about, like WhatsApp. You know, WhatsApp. You might say, well, Father, that's pretty old. It's been around for a while. But, you know, when you do what's necessary, right? So I get on these teleconference calls with my sister because she's on the other side of the world, and I use this thing called WhatsApp. And often we share different things that are going on spiritually. So it could be something, a passage that you've read, some good spiritual reading, maybe something in the Gospel or Old Testament, whatever that is, maybe from a good Catholic spiritual book that we all should be reading on a regular basis. Dare I say, maybe a good message in a homily now and then? And do we share that? Do we share that with others? So these are some ideas about being on mission in a time when some of our activities are restricted. For good reason. But we should always remember, dear brothers and sisters, a Catholic is always a missionary. So, my friends, let us consider carefully today on this Mission Sunday our attitude toward the responsibilities we have both as citizens of our country and citizens of the kingdom of God. Do you and I put our talents at the service of our fellow Americans by taking an active interest in the important public policy questions of the day and seek to participate in the debates at whatever level of government through contributions or interventions which are informed by the gospel and the church's teachings? Remember that with freedom comes responsibility, the responsibility to be concerned with the common good and the welfare of our brothers and sisters. If you want to read a really thought-provoking, very well done, excellent book written on this very subject, Archbishop Chaput's book, Render Unto Caesar, is really worth reading. Archbishop Chaput, the retired Archbishop of Philadelphia, just very, very wonderful. He does really good writings on this subject. Even more, this is our responsibility as disciples of Christ. And as disciples of Christ, may we never forget that we all have a part to play in the mission of bringing others to Jesus in the church. In all things regarding our lives as Catholics and as American citizens, let us remember, as the Lord said, to render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's.